Baba says all religions are good. All religions propagate the same truth. There is only one God. There is only one truth. No religion is greater than another religion. And the barriers that are created by the misconception of people of certain religion, Muslims say that my religion is greater than Hindu religion. Christian says my religion is greater than any other religion. These barriers they have created, they have got to go, Baba says. And he said, I have not come to establish any religion, but I have come to revitalize all religions. All religions are good. Nobody should change his religion or her religion at all. There is no need whatsoever. No religion is greater than the other religion. All religions are based on the same truth. That their way of expression, their way of their manifestation is different. The truth is the same, God is the same at the back of it. So whether it is a Bible or a Quran or a Avesta or a Gita, no difference. Only the difference name are given. It is the same reality, water. A Westerner will call water, an Indian will, Persian will call ab, a Hindi in India will call pani. But the water doesn't change, it remains the same, the names change. So the names and the language and the places and the same avatar, having taken birth in different places, these are the apparent changes. Otherwise the inward truth is absolutely the same. And this humanity has not yet understood it. And it may cost a great deal for the humanity. It may have to undergo through a great suffering to admit this with all its heart. Because this cannot go on forever. How can a Muslim say that millions of Hindus are condemned? Is God so unjust that he has to condemn millions of Hindus and they will only favor Mohammedans? And the Roman Catholics will say they will only favor us and not other men of other religion. On one hand, say you say God is most generous, is more compassionate, and condemn millions of people of other religion. This is absolutely illogical. This cannot stand for long. So a time will come, and according to me, a time will come when there will not be any remedy left excepting Meher Baba. That it is a junction point of all religions. And they will have to come to him. If not today, tomorrow, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. It may take time. It cannot be accomplished in a day. All the avatars had to suffer. And in this case of Christ, how many years after the number of followers increased and today there are millions? 2000 years have elapsed. In our case, only 7 years have elapsed. At least let 70 years go and see the result.
That doesn't make us better than other people, though.
Huh? What is it, sir?
I was saying, but therefore being a Baba lover doesn't necessarily put us ahead of other people.
Now, there are certain things which I've got to explain, how it puts us in a better position.
Okay.
It is like this. Now, we have to go back to the very concept of the avatarhood, which people of all religion do not accept. As Christians will say, he is only Christ. And Muslims will say, he is only Muhammad. There are only Hindus who say, they have faith that avatars can take birth at all times at different places. And apparently, their language may be different, but inwardly they are all one. So he is the same avatar. If that concept is first of all accepted, then it means that Zoroaster, Ram, Krishna, Buddha, Christ and Muhammad, they were all avatars and Meher Baba is the avatar. Now, Meher Baba is the recent one. The same avatar comes once between 714 years to revitalize the entire spiritual atmosphere of the world and give a push to the world. This is the truth of it. Now, for anything to be done, for my prayer to be accepted, or for any work I have in my mind to be fulfilled, any longing, a noble longing to be fulfilled, to whom shall I send the application? Shall I send it to Mr. Carter or Mr. Ford? Even if you send an application to the Ford, for Mr. Ford, if he thinks to do something, he will forward it to Mr. Carter. This is the truth of it all. I am telling you this, it is not my own, sir. It is what I have heard from Baba. May not be in the same language or words, in a different way. So that is it. Baba, during his lifetime, said, all persons are praying to God. Where does it go? All comes to me. When Christ was living, it all went to Christ. Now it comes to me, because we are one. Who can come out and say that I and Christ are one? Could anybody have that daring? And will his statement last the ravages of time? Not at all. Persons who have claimed have fallen down. And there are very, very few persons who have come out and said that I, Christ are one and I, God are one. Disciples may have called them. That is the avatar. But here is Meher Baba night and day, he said that I am the avatar, nothing else but the avatar. There was a man who came to Meher Baba and said, Meher Baba, you will have a large, I promise you a large following. He was an influential man. Won't you do one thing? Why do you call yourself the avatar? And you are the same as Christ and Rama and Krishna, because these people, they can't swallow this at all. You call yourself an ordinary saint and there will be hundreds and thousands following you. So Baba asked him, oh, you believe that I am a saint? Yes, yes. But not the avatar, sir. Only a saint. Do you believe? Can you believe that saint is capable of telling a lie? No, no, no. Saint will always tell the truth. Then I as a saint say that I am the avatar. So he kept quiet. Then Baba explained, at what cost should I say something wrong? Do you expect me to be so dishonest to myself to say that I am not the avatar, in spite of the fact that I am? This is it. It is not an easy thing to say, unless he is. Whether you believe him or not, Baba says, it is your question. God will look after your faith and belief. But so far I am there, I got to say this, because I am. There is no way out for me.
Well, I don't know, but I think maybe Chris means, I've made the same kind of remark at times that Chris just made it to you a few minutes ago, that, and as I see it, would it be correct to say that each, those of us who are Baba lovers, we know Avnehra Baba and we know he is the avatar we have. That's the greatest blessing we could possibly come to us. But that does not make me, as a person, superior to any other person.
That's what I meant.
Isn't that what you meant?
Yeah.
Well, I thought.
Yeah. That doesn't give me the right to go around calling myself superior to other people who have not heard.
No, no. You have the right to not accept it. He has the right to express himself. You may not have the right to accept it, but he has the right to express. Now, supposing there is an old college here, and a very powerful new college is opened up, and a man enrolls himself into the new college. Oh, I am bound to get a better education here. He has a right to say that my position is better than the old college. Others may not accept it. It is up to other others. But you can't deny the right a man who feels like this to say this. I can't deny anybody the right. Even when a Muslim comes to me and he says, a Christian comes to me and says, Christ is the biggest teacher in the world and there is no other. I do accept it. I said, yes. But then I talk to him a little and express my views. If he is amenable, I try to argue with him. Otherwise, leave him alone. I don't right. You should not have any right to say this. Why? How can I say? I do not have the right to tell him that you don't have the right. I have the right to not to accept it. That is all. And I can express it to him. Really speaking, I am of the view that one should not say this. Where is the necessity for me to say that I am better placed? And if you feel that you are better placed, you keep it in your mind and heart. Why make a show of it? That is another thing. But for me to tell him that you have no right to express, I don't have that right.
We're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. We are not saying the same thing at all. You see, we are challenging his right, which is not right.
I did not mean that.
No, you may not mean. Anybody may mean. I'm not referring to you in the matter.
I didn't mean to convey that impression at all.
No. Even if you had done it, what objection is there? We can discuss the thing. Any other questions?
Yes. Did you speak about mastery and servitude?
That's a great question, sir. Mastery and servitude, so opposites, and yet so near. So near and so far. One poet says, Manzil bahut kareeb hai, rasta hai dur ka. The destination is so near, but the way is so long. It is said that in the matter of our service and humility, if we go to the lowest position, that is self-effacement, then we have every chance to go to the highest. Just as bow and arrow. The bow we hold like this in the arrow. And as much as we draw this arrow backwards, it will go forward with a great with as much force. So to go to the highest, you have to go to the lowest. Not the lowest depth of degradation, it's the lowest depth of humility and self-effacement. Then you can rise higher. So if you have to become master, then you have to serve others. If you think that you can become a master without serving others, that will not be possible. Now you'll ask me a question, whether I shall serve Mer Baba or whether I shall serve others. There are two aspects of God, as there are two aspects of the avatar, the personal and the impersonal. And one poet has so beautifully said, Ek lafz mohabbat ka adna ye fasana hai, simte to dile aashik aur phaile to zamana hai. He says that insignificant word love is most significant. It has a great potentiality, but he on purpose calls it insignificant to convey the sense of being very significant. That insignificant word of love has such a potentiality that if it is collected from all over the world, it is focalized in your heart, where you can see the reflection of God. And if it spread over, it encompasses the entire universe. So these are the two personal and impersonal aspects of the avatar. The personal aspect is called his being, his divine being, and the impersonal is called his divinity. So if you have to become master in the sense, either you have to serve him personally or to serve the world. But what happens is, how far can I serve the world? I am not able to serve my family. I may not be able or may be able to serve my community. I may be able to serve or not serve my nation. And for me to serve the whole world will be a far cry. So let me serve one who serves the universe. Who is the personage by serving whom you will serve the whole universe? Mastery is attained only in your giving service. And that is self-effacement, another word for self-effacement. That is all. It all amounts to this. One can give service to humanity. Baba says, I exist in all, you can serve the human beings. That is his impersonal aspect. Somebody says, no, I will serve him. He is free to serve him, he is free to serve humanity, whatever he likes. Any other question?
The role of man and woman in married life?
This is a very important question, sir. So far, Baba's wishes are really concerned. It has to be always one man and one woman. And the importance of their role is, it is something like, in the world, in illusion, in Maya, there are many, many terms to express the entire illusion, the entire creation is based on duality. Duality means you are different to me, I am different to you. And so far, we think of unity. It is only the unitarian existence of God that we can think of. He is one. He is beyond this creation. And what is all happening, the entire functioning of this illusion is based on duality. And these two duality means opposites, like black and white, happiness and misery, man and woman. So if you ask me the real object, of course so far from the material point of view, the object is only for the progeny, for the race to continue. That is the physical point of view. For spiritual point of view, the two souls fuse into one, and the result is unity. Then you go to the feet of God, who enjoys that unitarian existence, and you get fused into it. Love for each other and united love for Mer Baba or God. This is the position of man and woman. But we have distorted it to such an extent that instead of really fulfilling the object for which they were brought into being, we try to frustrate everything out of our ignorance. And the result is that we have to go on suffering, nothing else. Yes. What story?
Have you wrestled with Baba?
To this morning I suggested you some very good stories. Have you taken down? At that time you did not take down.
I do.
But what was it? It was very nice.
Your foot journey from Baba?
You are going all backwards. That was a very new story. Yes?
You spoke earlier, someone asked you about spirituality.
Yes, yes.
And you said something about contradiction. I wanted to understand.
Yes, yes, very good, very good. Because it just occurred to me, that was not the time for me to say, I did say it and nobody questioned, but now you have remembered, I am very glad. You see, contradiction and our logic, our intellect. Logic is the product of intellect. Intellect is the product of mind. And mind lives in the state of duality all the time. We are just talking about duality. It is very important thing in our life. Intellect is very important, it is very powerful, it is very useful. All the physical comforts that the whole world enjoys today are the emanations, are the product of our intellect. If the intellect was not there, these scientific inventions, these technical things and technologies would not have come into existence. It has a great importance, it has a great part to play in our life. And it is bound by contradictions. It is based on contradictions. It is based on duality. Yes and no. Darkness and light, man and woman, happiness and misery, everything opposite. A woman cannot be a man cannot be a woman, one thing at a time. If I say that this glass is here, at such and such a place, at such and such a time, I shall say it is there. I cannot say it is there and it is not there. Do you follow? My logic doesn't allow me to say that the glass is there and it is not there. Do you follow? But spirituality is not bound by this. The glass can be there and not be there. It is not bound down by the law of logic, I say. It is above the law of logic. And that is the law of love. I love my wife very dearly. But she contradicts me every moment of my life. And yet I go and embrace her. Why? Because I love her. That means I make my logic subservient to my love. My love is more powerful than my logic. Do you understand this? So if you do not understand, say yes, no, or ask a question. But I have to suffer a great deal. She contradicts me every moment of my life and I have to pacify, I have to just console her. But because I love her, my love is so powerful that it can overcome the contradictions. So love is a thing. In beautiful message of Meher Baba, he says, love is the reflection of the unity of God into the life of our diversity. Love is the reflection of the unity of God into the life of our diversity. That means it is the only liaison, it is the only bridge between man and God, what we call love. Love is the reflection of the unity of God into the life of diversity of man. Our life are diverse. Our lives are not one, just as we say God is one. So God is God and man is man, but where is the link between the two? It is love. Love is the liaison between God and man. So the law of love far exceeds the law of intellect. And therefore, logic, which is the product of intellect, it doesn't bind the law of love. Law of love is above that. So in the domain of love, we can say this glass exists and it does not exist at one and the same time. But in the domain of duality, we can't say this. We are bound by this law of duality. Either it is there or it is not there. So I say spirituality begins at a point where there is extreme contradiction. Many things in the life of spirituality of a man, he has to experience many contradictory things and stand up to it and not run away from it, which a logic will not tolerate. If we try to put spirituality to the test of our logic, we shall ever fail. That is why Meher Baba says that you will not understand me unless you love me. So if you have to read his book, God Speaks, you must love me to understand what I have to say. Yes.
The balance of the head and the heart.
The balance of the head and the heart. I thought you were only talking about the balance of the head. Or standing on the head. Head represents the intellect or mind. And heart represents love. And Baba says the mind of man is running so fast in the world today that the heart really cannot catch up to it. He does not want to reduce the speed of the mind, but he wants to increase the speed of the heart so that both can run neck to neck with each other. And there will always be balance maintained between the head and the heart. The heart is very innocent, very pure, but sometimes likely to be usurped by cheat or by scoundrel. So one poet so beautifully says, I'll tell you that later. That's why the mind is there to give guidance. The heart may not be cheated or deceived by anybody. So the intellect stands as a sentinel, as a guard, to protect the interests of the heart. But this mind itself is also very mischievous. It may not allow the heart to be usurped, but it can mislead the heart itself. So one poet has so beautifully said, Achha hai ki dil ke paas rahe paasbaan aql, lekin kabhi kabhi ise tanha bhi chhod de. It is all right that the intellect stands as a guardian, as a watchman, near the heart, as a sentinel, to protect the interests of the heart. But do not have it that way. Sometimes separate them. Let heart function in its own way and let the mind be set aloof from the heart, because the influence of the mind is always not very healthy. It's also very mischievous. That is why the head and the heart, it will always create problems. So the balance of the head and heart is very necessary. And that's what I mean when the perfect balance of head and heart is achieved, it forms your conviction.
Is it true that sometimes when Baba would be giving a serious discourse and people would ask serious questions, he would decide to lighten up the atmosphere with a joke or just change the atmosphere to something light?
Yes.
Can you give us some examples or illustrations in doing this?
Let me first go through this balance of head and heart, which I have already lost by your question. Please come and sit inside. Why are you sitting there uncomfortably, doctor?
More comfortable.
Ah, okay, thank you.
What is intuition?
Huh?
No.
Let us finish this. Let us not thrust in all the different questions. Balance of heart, head and heart is a very important question you have to understand, which I say forms, which is so contributory to form the conviction. Conviction that Meher Baba is God. I have got two things to play with. One is my mind and another is my heart. My heart accepts, but the mind rejects. How to bring around this mind, I do not know. But the day the mind wholly agrees with the heart, that means anything that the heart feels, the mind supports. And anything that the mind thinks, the heart backs up. This is balance of head and heart. And that both put together make conviction. Thoughts may come and thoughts may go. That doesn't mean that I am completely dislodged from my faith or my conviction at all. I loved my mother very much, but sometimes I used to fight with her. So that didn't lessen my love for her at all. Sometimes I used to, when Baba allowed me, I used to fight with Baba also, when he allowed me, gave me the liberty to do so. That didn't mean that I loved him the less. We have to arrive, get established in a position where substantial things, thoughts coming and going and temper and this, that, it doesn't, they are all superficial. They don't go deep down. If somebody goes deep down, it's an exception. But if I'm established in my conviction, means whatever my mind thinks about Meher Baba, my heart backs up. And whatever my heart feels about Meher Baba, my mind backs up. This put together makes the balance of head and heart and forms a conviction. This is the meaning. This once gotten, never lost. Once you get that conviction, it never goes away. Other superficial fights may be there. I may kick you, I may abuse you, I may do something that, and some conflicts may arise, but it doesn't touch your real love and your conviction at all. Once what happened, Baba used to tease me very much. And one day I got so teased. I went aloof and sat there like this, you know, musing. Then, what was I doing, you know, there? I'll tell you what was I doing. I'll tell you a little later. Then Baba sent for me. Some man comes and, come on, Baba wants you there. Yes, I go there. I'm in a very nasty mood, you know. Just look at his face like this. What were you doing? I was sitting there. What were you thinking? Baba, I was sitting there. What were you thinking? I was abusing you, Baba. And he laughed. What a graciousness. You have to be very honest with him.
What kinds of abuses were you thinking of?
Are abuses any? Is there a limit to abuses, sir? Can you draw any limit to any abuses in the world? They can exceed any norm in the world.
What were you doing?
Huh?
What were you doing? Are you going to tell us what you were doing? You were...
No, no, I was, you see, I was in a very nasty mood. I was so much peeved. I was, my head was raging with many thoughts, I mean, of anger. Why does Baba do this and why does he tease and why should he do this? He's the avatar and why should he tease me like this? And I actually abused. He asked me, what were you doing? I was just, first I tried to avoid, huh? I said, I was sitting there. If he doesn't ask me further, it will all end there. So he asked me twice, what were you doing? I was sitting there, and the fact was, I was sitting. It was not a lie. But then, what were you thinking? Then again I said, sitting. Then what were you thinking? Then I said, I was abusing.
Well, he knew it, didn't he?
Huh?
He already knew it.
He knows where the world... He knows when the world is going to come to an end, but he never says it.
He
always took recourse to the very natural means, and he never showed his under exceptional conditions, in exceptional things, of course, he said what he knew, otherwise he did not say at all. It is a saying in Indian language, jisne paya, usne chupaya. Anyone who has gotten it, he has concealed it. Then you come out and say this. He always took recourse to ordinary means. He knows everything, but he asks. What was your question now, sir? Come on with it.
Some illustrations of when Baba would lighten the atmosphere.
Tell the story of the time he was complaining about the Vaibhuti Kowali that Vaidu were talking about.
You see, Baba had once taken us, a few of us. Gustaji was there, I was there, Baidul and Kakabariya, only four, and Baba himself, fifth. At the bottom of the Himalaya hills, in a place called Kath Godam. It's a far-lying place from Maharashtra, from Mehrabad and Mehrazad, hundreds of miles away. We rented a small house and we lived there. There are many things that happened there, I shall tell you. One day Baba got into a mood that I want to hear Kavwali, Ghazal. And he asked Baidul to get a nice Kavwal. Baidul was always very economical in doing things. But economy in this case did not really prove helpful at all. He went and brought a kawwal and another tabla player, drum player, and tonga, horse carriage, and the hire of the tonga. The kawwal was brought there. And the house we were staying there was a small house, there was a small hall. So Baba came and sat there, we all sat there. The kawwal was made to sit. And I asked the kawwal, you go on singing. He began singing. And at the end of that ghazal, Baba just gets up, leaves his seat and goes in the adjoining room and sits there and asks me, what did he sing? I said, Baba, I don't understand what he sings. There is no tune, there is no song. I do not know what it is all about. Baba said, let him go now. I said, Baba, why not give a try? Let him sing another song. We shall see. Probably the first may not be that good, another may be nice. So I induced Baba to come and sit again in the small hall, and he was asked to recite another ghazal, sing another ghazal. The result was absolutely the same. Fantastic. I could not understand what it was all about. And I did not know the reason of it all. Why? I have never heard a kawwal, I mean, so... unlikable and unhearable as he was. Anyway, Baba went away. And Baba told me, did I not tell you to ask him to go away? He doesn't sing well, we don't understand. I said, all right, I will send him away. So I called Baijul and sent him away. So Baijul went with him and settled the bill. And what was the bill, you know? The fee of that kawwal, the fee of that drum man, and the tonga hire, all put together 5 rupees. That means it was nearly $0.50. The kawwal usually takes 100 rupees. And he brings a kawwal including the carriage hire, and the man, a tabla man takes 25-30 rupees at least. And the kawwal of an ordinary caliber would take 100 rupees. So everything was in 5 rupees. I say, for 5 rupees, Baba, this was a good result. Like this, it seems as if he's carrying a sort of a huge a ball of light in his hand, and it, as if a man is carrying a lantern, it goes like this, you see. And it was there. So that was there. This was one incident. The third incident was a very powerful incident. Wherein Baba said, Baba made us believe that I am going to break my silence here. For 2 days he went on telling us that I am going to break my silence, I am going to break my silence. So we were all concentrated upon it, and our thoughts did not go anywhere at all, excepting that how important we 4 persons are, that Baba is going to break all the years silence before us and nobody else is there. Hadi, you are very important, Kaka Bariya, Bustaji and Baidul. And we were all very glad and joyous at that time. The appointed time came early morning, we got up at 5 o'clock, walked the distance, and there was another huge hill, not the hill of this yogi. There we went. And we climbed the hill. And there was a plateau, sort of a table land on the top of it, a level land. And Baba sat in the center of it. In one corner, Baijul, another corner, Kaka Bariya, third corner, Gustaji, and fourth was I. And Baba said, you turn your faces and sit there. And when I clap my hand, you come over there. And we were all so concentrated, we did not think anything, but just wanted to hear when Baba talks and we hear. And then after 55 minutes exactly, he clapped his hand. And we went near. I was so eager to hear that Baba talks. But nothing about it. The ground on which he sat, we took that earth and we have preserved it. I got it with me. Baba did the great work there. And he wanted our entire concentration in it. This was the thing he said, that he was going to break the silence, so we got concentrated over it. Others, our thoughts would be running hither and thither. That explanation he gave later.
You did hear Baba's voice,
did you? Yes?
I heard that you did hear Baba's voice. You heard him
speak. Yes, I heard. But I can't reproduce that voice. How can a crow reproduce the voice of a cuckoo? Cuckoo.
Did Baba ever laugh out loud? Did you ever hear chuckles?
Oh yes, chuckles, laugh, everything. Talk. Everything is a man.
No, I mean after he was observing silence, when he was older, did he ever vocalize laughter?
No. Didn't vocalize. Laugh sometimes we used to hear. Just a little. Yes. Just a little laugh. Nothing more than that. Mm-hmm. But no utterance of any word at all.
Smiling at that.
I am smiling at myself that I should have obeyed him much more than I did. And the importance is felt after he left the body so much. Sometimes being near with him, we are so familiar all along that he used to tell us, I am God. Yes, Baba, we know you are God. For the last many years, we have been hearing you are God. No, I am God. You repeat it, I am God. Like this, you see. So I say, we used to get so familiar that sometimes an air of indifference used to come to us. Then he would say, I am God. Because he played with us. We all slept in the ground. He laid himself here, and I and Gustaji and other Mandali and all that. He played marbles with us, kites, cricket. And so, just like a friend. So it was natural every time. We may not remember that he is God, although we knew and we are convinced. So he would come out and say that, see, I am God. I said, yes, Baba, you are God. But this is not a new thing to me. I know that you are God. One month before he dropped his body, I was supposed to go to Mehrazad every day for work, because Mehrazad people would not come out in the town to the town at all, and I had to send them all the provisions. Foodstuffs and stationery and that, everything, their clothes and wash and laundry and so many things all. So one day I went there. He was very bad in health, and his health was not good. I did not go and disturb me unless he called me. But on that specific day he called me inside, and I went and stood there. He says, do you know that I am God? Yes, Baba, I know. Do you know who I am? First of all, he tells me, do you know who I am? I said, Baba, is this the question to ask after 47 years being with you? This should have been asked much earlier. No, I am asking you again. I am God. Say I am God. Go and tell everybody I am God. Yes, Baba, I will do that. Now, I know what I am doing. I know what I am doing, my suffering is too great, and I will go in coma. But I am going to come back, go and tell everybody. And see, all these Mandali want to take me to Pune Guru Prasad for a better treatment. Tell Gavir, Dr. Gavir, and tell all others that if they do that, I will drop my body. I said, no, Baba, how can they go against your wishes and they are not going to take you there, all that. And after 1 month, suddenly, gave a slip and went away.
Was that when you did drop his body?
No, not that day, after 1 month.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought this was something he was doing to try and get you to do some work for him. But I've read stories where he would always be saying things like that, kind of shake everybody up.
Then, when his condition became very serious, Dr. Ginde was the man, the neurosurgeon. He was a very famous man, Baba's disciple. He used to live in Bombay, 200 miles away from Ahmednagar. And when his presence was required, I used to send him a phone. But he always tell me, Adi, you call me if I got to go and see Baba and bow down before him and take his darshana. But do not call me to diagnose what he suffers from, because I don't know, it is beyond me. I do not know what he suffers from. When he was very serious, Gawar sent me a word immediately to bring the doctor from Evangeline Booth Hospital. And this doctor had to bring an oxygen cylinder with him and ask Ginde to come to Ahmednagar immediately from Bombay. So I sent him a phone, and he was a brain surgeon, neurosurgeon, and he was to operate upon some patient. But when my phone went there, he told me that do not call me to diagnose Baba, because it is beyond me, I can't do it. But if I have to take darshan, I said, this is a very important moment, you forget about everything and you come. So immediately he gave up everything, wound up his all operation thing and entrusted it to somebody, and he came in his car all the way. He came so fast from there. I was waiting for him in my office. When he came here, he looked so tired. He says, Adi, I want to go to bathroom. I want to go to bathroom. I said, his bathroom is there, you go. He went inside and came out. And do you know that he got heart attack in my bathroom? It was a mild attack. When he came out, he was very exhausted. And says, Adi, give me a hot cup of milk. So I just heated up the milk and gave him, he drank, and he just felt a little relieved. And I said, come on, we shall go. Then, Booth Hospital doctor, his name was Brisman, I and Dr. Ginde, all, and that cylinder and everything, in two cars. Doctor had his own car. We went fast there. And Gawar was so anxiously waiting for us. And she came out of the house, Baba was inside. Irach was giving artificial respiration to Baba. And all the women were there. Mehrama was not there at that time. She was in the adjoining room. Then we stepped in the doctor and all. Just before, I think, a few seconds before, Baba had already gone away. His body was warm. And Dr. Ginde was asked, Dr. Brisman was asked, and they said like this, like this, like this. And Gawar was started shouting and wailing and weeping, and caught hold of the doctor like this, and Iris started weeping, and money and everything, it was all. And somehow I managed to keep my balance then. I did not weep there. But then Mehramaya was called, and she was made to sit here on the sofa. And she was looking at Baba like this. And she was so dazed, she could not even weep. She absolutely became dazed like this. And when I saw her face, I could not control myself. So I went out of the house, went into the garden and wept for a few seconds, wiped my eyes and came inside. And then we all collected together, and then to form the telegram to be sent all over. And thousands of rupees of worth of telegrams were sent all over the world. And to tell you that I could not have really, after his going away, could not have stuck to my office and continued to do his work, were it not for the indifference that he showed me the last 6 or 7 years at Mehrazad, and the way he tried to keep me aloof from him so that my attachment to his person would really wither down and I would be able to stand on my own legs. Last 6 or 7 years, what happened? Of course, I then sat near the phone for 48 hours, every 5 minutes a phone. One phone from New York, another phone from London, third from Delhi, fourth from Canada, Mexico, and phones after phones, phones. You see, I used to feel so sleepy, just lay my head on the table, and within 5 minutes again the phone rang. But I was able to cope up with it and work. And inside, I was so suffering because of Baba having left us and all that. Now, I feel that he gave the strength, and how he gave was 6-7 years before he passed away. left his body, he almost ill-treated me many a times. In the sense that I used to go to Mehrazad, I was supposed to go every day. Then I entered the darshan hall and he was there. Bahu Kalchuri was standing by. Baba says, "Why have you come here? Why have you come here?" I said, "Baba, for work." "What do you have to say? Sit down. Say out." I said, "Few things." "Finished?" "Yes." "Yes. Go home." When I went out, naturally Gaur used to come to me, Erich used to come to me. Several things to be done. One man attending to all and their needs, you see, they had to give me notes and cheats and other things and all. Then Baba would send out Bahu Kalchuri. "Is Adi standing there outside? If he is there, ask him to go home." "Well, what is this? I don't know." This happened once, twice, thrice, several times. I could not understand what is this going on. And as our human feelings would be, in spite of the fact that we took Baba to be God, I mean, once the same Baba who used to feed me with his hand like this, the same Baba is keeping me so aloof and so indifferent. I started feeling very bad within myself. And when I went to my office, I just used to go lock myself in the bathroom and weep and weep. And eyes swollen, I would come out. And all my servant boys and my mother would say, "What is this?" No, my mother was not there at that time. She was there for some time. She died in 1962. Yes, she was there. She saw him, the other servant said, "What is this? He goes to Mehrazad every day, comes back, locks himself up in a bathroom and then weeps and his eyes look swollen. What is this?" And I could not tell anybody. I could not complain to Baba. I could not reveal to anybody. And I went on suffering like this. Not on every trip, but intermittently this went on happening. And I suffered very much. And I would not understand. I said, "All right, we must bide our time. Doesn't matter. Baba is our God, our friend, our everything. What is it? After all, I have been the man to tell everybody that a kiss and a kick from Baba, both are blessings. Mm-hmm. A kick and a kiss from Meher Baba, both are blessings." But when it came to on myself, of course, I started suffering and weeping. Good person to talk to. Then, when Baba suddenly went away, and I realized, oh, all that so-called treatment was a blessing in disguise. If he had not done that, I was so deeply attached to him. Because right in the beginning, 1922, I was his personal attendant. Bathing him, washing his clothes, making his bed, everything practically night and day I was with him. You see, all that love, all that attachment, how could it ever go? And to the master like this for a number of years, and 47 years, can you imagine? And he treating me like this, then I realized that Baba, what you did, that way you treated me was really a blessing in disguise. Otherwise, I could not have stuck to my office, gone away. Anywhere, I do not know. I would have killed myself, done something, I would have never come back. But nothing of that sort happened. And he gave a great strength. And Mehramaya amongst all, oh, she suffered, wept for months together. Just a little mention of Baba, she would go on weeping. Now, of course, she's come to a little, she feels herself settled now. She talks to others and she's all right. She doesn't much weep. Sometimes, of course, she bursts out into tears when Baba's name is mentioned. But she is much now steady than before. So to tell you, the ill-treatment was very useful. But that was the ill-treatment at the hand of the avatar, not at the hand of an ordinary man. What is the time? Fruit juice?
20 to 10.
No, I am asking fruit juice. To her.
It's been a couple hours, Adi, maybe.
Huh?
2 hours, maybe.
I'm again, any time to stop, any time to begin.
Adi, I think we've all enjoyed you, but we don't want to overcome
you. You're right. And I'm very thankful to you for giving such a patient hearing. For all the thoughts expressed and all the noise created? Yes, sir? You have to say something?
Stretching my leg.
Huh?
Stretching my leg.
Yes, I'm glad.
Jai Baba.
Jai Baba. All who are present here are workers. Isn't it, Jaxma?
Yes. Some are eaters too.
Huh?
Some are eaters as well as workers.
Eaters are all, they have to be. Before, I would like to ask you to ask questions or present certain difficulties in doing the work. I would like to say a few things about the work, which you should very attentively listen. Everyone basically should understand that in whatever position he or she is, I am including myself, I never exclude, of whatever position of importance in the eyes of Baba lovers or in my own eyes I may be holding, I should understand that all the work that I do is for my own good. Baba doesn't need any work at all. He had time and again said that I do my own work. And my own work is that he does the work internally, and the external expression of that work takes place. And that's what he said before he left his body, or in his declaration in 1954, that the manifestation is going to take place. It will be the manifestation of the entire work that he has done. So I should under no circumstances pride myself that I am doing the work. Although the fact remains that it is I who do the work. Whatever I do, of course I do, somebody else does, somebody else does. This distinction, this recognition we should have. But we should not have the pride of the situation. Because Baba says, you cannot do my work at all. And all the work that you do is the opportunity I give you to be to be useful to you, to be beneficial to you in a spiritual way. So we must understand that each one of us does the work for himself. He does not do it for Baba, that's a fact. If you have hold that point of view always, then what happens is, anything by way of a obstacle that arises, either the clash of egos, the difference of thoughts, the disagreements between the workers, they should all be dissolved into the thought that I do not do the work, and whatever I contribute by way of doing the work is for my own good and for nobody else's. If you hold on to that thought, then I think it will be very easy for every one of us, in spite of all the differences, to have no real misunderstanding against each other. No ill feeling is too strong a word, I would say, and hatred is still a stronger word. But we should not have, I would say, ill feeling or any rancor against each other. We are just the, really speaking, pawns on the chessboard of Meher Baba's work. He has given us a free will, and through which we cognize many things, and we do many things, and we feel that I am doing it. I do not know, if he had not given us the free will, if he had not given us the sense of discrimination, then we could not have done anything at all. A dog is not able to do the work that a man does. A dog is not able to discriminate right from wrong that a man is able to do. The dog has its own free will, but it's an instinctive free will which makes him do things, but he is far below the rank of man who is endowed with these faculties. So he has to make judicious use of all what he has got on hand and give a greater importance to the work that he does rather than to his own feelings for or against the work. That is why Baba said once, not once but so many times, in the matter of my love, give up. Where you are concerned with my love, and if something that you possess is coming in your way, give it up. Anything and everything. It may be my wife, my child, my anything. He has made us do that. I am revealing my own experiences to him. And if in the matter of his work, anything that comes in the way, give in. For the matter of his love, give up. For the matter of his work, give in.